Good morning. 8:14 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Must be the 22nd. According to my calendar, it is the 22nd. Yesterday got kind of out of hand real early in the day. I had therapy at 8 a.m. and then had groceries and chores and stuff lined up from that point pretty much all day. It was a very busy day. None of it had to do with walking, talking. Yeah, 18 minute first mile, not bad. Very little of it had to do with anything book-like either, so that was kind of a pisser, but I don't know, maybe today will be different. I thought a lot about books and martyrs yesterday, and how often books talk about the martyr, because there's actually a title called The Martyr. It was a good book. I can't remember who wrote it. It's a relatively new one. And then there's Michael Valentine Smith from Stranger in a Strange Land, who was one of the first that I came across the Echoes of Messiah. Oh, maybe that was the name of the title, Messiah. Anyway, so I thought a lot about that. Kind of percolating in the way in the back of my brain. And one of the topics that came up was yesterday in therapy was how my process isn't really linear. So I'm probably going to talk a little bit about that today. Probably too much. There may well be TMI involved. Not, you know, that kind of TMI, but... See, the thing is, one of the things that's had me bugged for weeks is I'm not turning out the books. The books need my attention, and I'm not giving it to them in the degree that they require. I got Zephyr's call out and kind of went bleh. And it's only really got barely out with the ebook. I haven't gone back to the booth to read it, which is really one of the most exciting parts of the production, and I've sort of been avoiding it, or at least putting it off. So I was kvetching with the therapist yesterday, and she pointed out that that's not my process. That sort of linear, go into production line mode and produce day after day, month after month, week after week, whatever. That's not how I work. Never has been. I, in the beginning, characterized myself as a binge writer, and the truth is I'm sort of a binge creative. Now what she observed was that that's a pretty common practice. That one of the problems with creative people is that it's difficult to be creative when the bell rings. To be creative on a schedule. And even just general productivity. I saw a video yesterday, which was very timely. On productivity, something like the Kegurgic effect or Kegurnik effect. It has to do with starting a project. Once it's started, you have this little uncomfortable feeling until it's completed. And yeah, boy, do I have that. Because I have so many projects started, and none of them are finished. And the Kegurnik effect has become, in a sense, so overwhelming that I can't do any of them because I keep trying to do all of them in my head and get overwhelmed and shut down and don't do anything, which doesn't really help anything. But she also pointed out that I have done a fair amount. The idea that I haven't done anything, which is the depression talking. Oh, I haven't done anything. I'm such a loser, blah, blah, blah. Well, let's see. I've lost about 15 pounds. I've changed my eating habits almost entirely so that its weight should not only stay off, but continue to slide off slowly. I've got my teeth fixed. My mouth is back together, except for the bridge work they've got to do in a couple months. I wrote a book. I published it. I didn't get it in all the formats that I want yet, but it's out there. People are reading it. People are liking it. There's a lot of positive feedback there. And mostly what I've been doing is running a family, running a household. The stay-at-home dad thing has taken on a life of its own with a chronically ill spouse who's not only not going to work, but requiring care during the day. It's really quite a lot. It's also an excuse. But I can look back and celebrate the stuff that I have managed to do, and I don't really have to beat myself up for the stuff I haven't done. Which is, was kind of a message I think I needed to hear. I don't know when I'm going to get these books out. I still got people bugging me for them, and I want to say, oh, it's coming out this week, it's coming out today. But I know perfectly well that in about 40 minutes, I've got to be taking care of the people who are coming to clean the carpets, because while my sick wife is home, she's not going to be able to deal with strangers, outsiders in the household. So she's going to have to be closeted somewhere. So it will fall to me to deal with these people who are cleaning the rugs that aren't really necessarily dirty, but which my wife believes need to be cleaned, or we will have to burn down the house to sanitize it. So, yeah, no. Anyway, so this weekend I am going away. And one of the things that my historic pattern has produced time and time again is that by going away, I gain perspective. I recharge my battery, as it were. I get out of the humdrum. I get pulled away from the habit. I get dragged from all of the things that I do that don't help me necessarily put out backlist stories. Although, for all of my talk about not producing anything, I'm developing a suite of characters that is, I've talked about in the past, and I'll probably talk about it again, but they are more and more engaging. Now, I really haven't decided whether or not I'm going to use them in an existing universe or come up with a new one. I'd kind of like to use them in the existing universe. And I suspect that I will. Because I've got a bunch of dark characters that would fit in nicely as regulars at Odin's Outpost. So the opportunities there for changing up my writing or getting a little break from the norm definitely possible there. I need to work on that. After I get the other books out. And that's the thing. It's like the new writing I'm treating as a reward, and that may not be the right way to go about it. I was talking to Dan Sawyer last night. J. Daniel Sawyer. And he scheduled his day in chunks for different purposes. And I almost wonder if that might not be a more appropriate way for me to deal with it. I can put progress up on a variety of fronts, and when one bogs down, I can celebrate in another, and I won't have all this stuff hanging open over me all the time. So if I take 2 hours for audio production a day, and 2 hours for book production a day, 2 hours for writing a day, that's 6 hours. I should be able to find 6 hours in the course of the day. If I could get people out of the house so that I could have the house to myself during the day, then that 6 hours becomes, you know, on my head, because 9 to 3, I have to pick up the kids at 3 o'clock. If I get my wife out on time, she's supposed to be at work at 8, but she tends to go late if she goes at all. But that would leave time for getting pretty much a full day's work in before I have to pick up kids. I could probably even sacrifice a little bit of the development time, the playtime that I put in the morning. At least restructure it a bit. I have to think on that. I think I could probably do this. So the problem is that puts me back into this sort of straight line mode that I've just discovered that really is not the most productive way for me. But that doesn't mean that I couldn't do it for a while, until I get some of this backlog off my plate, until I can get some of this Zagurgenik effect reduced by getting some of my projects done. It felt great to get half share out. It'll feel even better to get full share and double share. And I do have the edits back for Captain's Share. So, you know, putting out the old books, adding a new book to the pile, sitting down with Licks in order to figure out how to do the chapter headings the way that I want them. It's going to take a little bit of doing, but if I do it for one book, it'll give me the pattern I need to do it for all the books, and it'll go very quickly after that. So with as many books as I need to put out in paper, and at this point it's 6, soon to be 7, that's not an inconsiderable ideal. So even if it takes me a couple of days to figure out how to make the books look the way I want, then I can make all the books look the way I want, and then make every book going forward look the way I want, because I'll have my own template to use. But that's after I get the ebooks out. The ebooks are the bread and butter. That's the reason I keep going back to this idea. I've got to get the ebooks out. Because ebooks are the bread and butter. And as valuable as the podcasts are in terms of attracting new listeners, the ebooks are the bread and butter, and I've got to get those out so that that frees up time. So that when my brain is recharging between writing, I can be reading stuff and putting out audio work and helping that process along. Now, I learn a lot by reading my own stuff. I read a lot. I learn a lot by reading other people's stuff, which is why I keep doing short stories for Protecting Project Pulp and Starship Sofa and stuff. Because I learn a lot from reading their books, reading their stories. That's very helpful. I'm not sure what I learned. The problem is it's sort of like osmosis. And I read a lot of Alan M. Steele stuff lately. I read a lot of Alan M. Steele before I did his, started doing his stories. But having read a lot of Steele, he's a really good writer. He's also, he's a level of skill that I can aspire to, I think. He has a level of craft that I can understand, and while I wouldn't want to emulate, I can at least learn some of the lessons of some of the techniques that he uses, I think. It's the story that I read, the last one that I did for him, about the World War II Zeppelin guy. What was it called? The Listening Post, or... Yeah, I think it was the Listening Post, maybe the Outpost. That was not too unlike Ishmael Wong's stories, the way the story unfolded from the current time to an extended flashback, and then the punchline in current time again. So it's kind of fun. It's like I see this story working. I saw how it unfolded. I saw the same thing happen with Blood Dauber, when the I'm trying to think of what the guy's name was now. That was an odd name. Anyway, I'm having trouble with names. And thank you for finding Eric Flint for me. I had forgotten about it by the time I went home, so I couldn't look it up. So I can see how these stories work. I've got enough craft now that I can see the pieces of the story, the little clockwork springs that keep it moving forward, the little gears that keep the pieces connected and in sync. It's an interesting perspective. It drives the kids crazy now, because we'll be watching a movie, we'll be watching a TV show or something, and they'll say, oh my gosh, you suppose it's going to be this? And no, it's going to be that. Oh, the classic one was the car that was going to blow up. I can't remember what the show was, but we were watching something, and the guys were trying to save some guy's life, and he was in danger from the mob and a bunch of other stuff. And so they tracked him down, they found him, and they got, as he was getting into his car, they got in his car with him. And he freaked out because there were strangers in his car, and he wanted to get out of his car. They explained to him, because he was afraid that people were trying to kill him. And they explained to him that they were here to help him, to help keep him safe from the people who were trying to kill him. He said, no, you have to get out of the car, you have to get out of the car, you have to get out of the car. If anybody sees you with me, I'm a dead man, blah, 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 blah. And they said, well, you're already in danger. What do you want? He said, no, you have to get out of the car, you have to get out of the car. And I said, you watch, the car's going to blow up. So they got out of the car, took three steps, and of course the car blew up. And they were like, how did you know that? And I said, because here's the helping hand that he needs to survive, and he's pushing it away and pushing it away, pushing it his way. What's his motivation for pushing it away? He's afraid of them, because he's afraid that somebody will see him with them and will kill him. Well, he's already on the run because he's afraid people are going to kill him. What's the difference? But they have to get out of the car because they're the main characters. So he's pushing them out of the car so that the rider can blow the car up as soon as their back is turned. And they're like, really? And I said, well, what happened? And they said, well, they got out of the car and they started walking down the street and the car exploded. Okay. When he got in the car, he didn't turn the key on. He didn't have a chance to turn the key on. As soon as he turned the key, the bomb went off. They had to get out of the car before he turned the key. Easy as that. And the fastest way to make that happen is for them to have this very hurried conversation so that you don't have a chance to think about it. That you don't have an opportunity to wonder, what the hell is going on here? Why isn't he accepting their help? The answer, of course, being, oh dear, I'm in trouble. The answer, of course, being that the riders needed to blow the car up. I'm in trouble because the carpet cleaners have arrived early, and I wasn't at home to greet them. Oh well, I'm home now. And I suppose I'm going to have to go in and figure out what we're doing. Very clearly said 9 o'clock. It's barely 8:30. Ah, dear. So anyway, Yeah, an 18-minute mile is not bad for the second mile. So, with that, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.